Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Sunday, a day to worship. Worship a small egg-shaped ball.
Oh no, he drops the ball.
You've got to respect the ball.
Long live the weekend. Long live rugby league.
Oh, you've got to love your rugby league.
Welcome to the Triple M. Sunday Sin Bin.
And welcome to it. Sunday afternoon. I don't know what it's like where you are, but here in Sydney, it's quite a overcast, rainy sort of a day. So stay rugged up and indoors and right up and down the east coast of Australia. We welcome in to the Sunday Sin Bin for our friends at Sea-Doo. Get on board a Sea-Doo and discover why Sea-Doo is Australia's number one choice in personal watercraft. And joining us live from the Gordy Tallis studio in Brisbane. Hello, Gordon.
Good evening, guys. Afternoon. How are we going?
Absolutely fantastic.
I'm going to go to Fortress Sea Bus later on this afternoon.
Fortress Robina. See your Titans play. Mm. The only team that goes worse at home than they do when they're on the road. Well, they do like to buck the system, don't they? Mm. Anyway, we'll talk more about that.
Leave us alone, mate.
Paul Kent, we watched you at the boxing the other night. What did you think of Gal?
I thought it was one of the bravest performances I've ever seen.
Right.
In any sport. Greatness about boxing is you can get taken to a limit that you can't in many other sports, and probably in any other sport, to be truthful. Mm. And I thought Paul Gallum was pushed as far as I've ever seen anyone, and he kept coming back. I thought it was monumental what he did.
Yeah, okay. Well, we might get a chance to talk about that in a little bit more detail later. Hoops from Fox League. You've had a busy week too, old mate. How's things with you?
Good afternoon, Anthony. Very good, thank you.
Okay, well, I'm just going to rattle off the scores. We'll start with your West Tigers because they got absolutely pumped last night. South 46 Broncos. A lot of talk coming out of Queensland too about Kevy Walters and his players. We'll get to that. Sharks 26, Cowboys 24, Panthers 38, Roosters 12, Knights 10, Warriors 6, Dragons 22, Raiders 20, and then, of course, the Storm 66 beat the Tigers 16. It was 40-0 at halftime. Madge apparently left the players at halftime, so I believe Hoops to sort it out for themselves in an effort, I guess, to make them accountable on some level. This is an awful shellacking for the West Tigers. I have to say, in all honesty, I think in the end the score flatters the Tigers a little bit because I thought it was going to get easily into the 70s, particularly when they came out in the second half and put on a couple of quick tries, the Storm.
It looked like it was going to be 80 after the opening 18 minutes. I think the Tigers had only touched the ball on three occasions for three errors, and the Melbourne Storm just went crack bang, led 30-0. Look, the performance was insipid, putrid, meek. Insert adjective here, Anthony, whatever you want to call it. They'd been on a camp up in Noosa, and I think a lot of people have since made the comment that it looked as though they were still sitting on the beach with the cocktail umbrellas in the drinks and staring them around, and they just hadn't shown up.
So Gordy,
they need to muscle up. Look, honestly, it was unacceptable for an NRL team to be down 40-0 at halftime. Mm.
How does it get to that point?
You stop trying.
Yeah, look, there's no simple answer. There's a lot of reasons why it happened, but look, no doubt the Storm were very good. They got through their sets, and the Tigers very early in the game really struggled to get through their sets. In fact, weren't even making tackle three. But you've still got to be able to have a little bit of pride in your performance. And some of the efforts I saw last night, and this is the bit that concerns me about the Tigers. I get if the opposition has got a huge advantage with the ball, with possession, that they're getting to the kick each time, and for when you get the ball through trying too hard or whatever, you're pushing a pass or you drop the ball or whatever. Yeah. But their defensive efforts and the amount of times you'd see a bloke go into a tackle and just by his body action, you could see that the thing that was foremost in his mind was self-preservation. Mm. They went in with arms, very rarely went in with shoulders in tackles. Their heads were often in bad position, like they were already trying to avoid the collision. They were so anemic in defence that Michael Maguire, he's got to sit down and he's got to figure out what's going on here. I love what Cooper Cronk said last night after the game, where he said it's almost at the point now where he has to get his senior players. Well, you know, he said the senior players should go to Michael Maguire and say, listen, we've got this week. And they drive it.
Mm-hmm.
And they start making their teammates accountable. Yeah. But the thing that Michael Maguire, I believe, really has to start doing, and I think he's erred this year in some of his recruitment, he has to start recruiting guys who fit his style of footy. To get a bloke like Joey Leilua, Luciano Leilua, James Roberts, they're not tough. I get why he got them. He brought them in because he had a side that couldn't score points. They needed to manufacture points. But they also can't cope with his coaching. And it just drifts through the team. And so they don't play like a Michael Maguire team because there's not enough Michael Maguire players in the team. They need to go back to the drawing board and they need to recruit with a clear policy of getting tough guys who will fight for a bone.
Hey, Paul, do we have those players in the game? That's my challenge.
Look, we saw it in the opposition last night. Dale Finucane was a no-frills player. Look, I know he played Origin.
Yep.
And he finally got there. He probably deserved to be there much earlier than he was. But Dale Finucane, if I clipped up any 5 minutes of any game of his career, you couldn't tell me what the scoreline is because he's going as hard. Mm. And doing what he does.
So why aren't the Tigers going and signing him now then? Because he's available. He's off contract.
I don't know.
Instead, they're being linked with Tevita Pangai Jr.
Yeah.
Who, if he was involved last night, with all due respect to Tevita, I like him and respect him as a player. He wasn't going to fix that scoreline last night.
You're right, Hoops. And that's the issue. I reckon the broader picture why there's not players like that and there's not as many players in the game like that now is because of the way we've abandoned the pathways. In the old days, you came through and when you played reserve grade, reserve grade was a mix of either old-timers on the way out or up-and-comers on the way in.
And it's a hard sell for the manager. They got to go sell you the flashy player.
Yep.
And don't take, like, the Sam Walker, the Christian Welsh, those guys, make them more money. That's a very rare commodity that they come and straight away the managers get money. The guy like a Tino Fasua Malawi or, you know, Finucane or a Sam Burgess that's over in England, they're hard to come by.
They are, Gordon.
Then Shane Webke was signed by mistake. See, that's why I'm making a point.
Yeah, but
Shane Webke was signed by mistake. They went there to sign Stephen Price, saw a 125-kilo fat bloke get a smack in the mouth and go mad for 10 minutes, and Wayne Bennett goes, that's the bloke we got to sign.
Okay, I'll give you another example of a guy, right? So West Tigers were having an open trial day many, many years ago, right? He's now retired, this player.
Chris Hynington.
You ruined the story, but anyway.
That's the first question he's got right.
Yeah, I know. We should have saved that for the quiz.
Yeah, Scotty, that's it.
but the thing is, Chris Hynington, it was an open trial date. No manager had signed him up. No club was interested in him. So he signed up for the trial date, went down, went okay. Then there was the bushfires where he made the train and trial squad. Then there was the bushfires that cut off the freeway between, he lived on the Central Coast, between Central Coast and Gosser. So what he did is he got a ferry down from the Central Coast, like your minor area, down to
Patonga or something.
Patonga down to Avalon or wherever it lands. Then he had to get a bus, then he had to get another bus, then he had to get a train. He did all this all the way down the training, then all the way home. That's how much he wanted it. Now, Chris Hynding was a no-frills player who played more than 300 games in the NRL because he was a guts-and-all player.
And won a premiership with the West Tigers.
And won a premiership with the West Tigers. And you need that. You need those guys in your team. We don't celebrate that enough. And certainly there's not enough coaches who are trying to instill that. There's too many junior coaches who go for the flash and, you know, razzle-dazzle of those sorts of players because they can win their under-19s premiership or their A-grade premiership and hopefully get a start at an NRL club. The coaches are not doing the job in development to develop some tough kids. And this is what the game needs to be. You need these types of players. That's what Craig Bellamy, the secret of Craig Bellamy and the emergence of the Sydney Roosters is they recognise the value of these players. They recognise that every team has to have a certain amount of those guys in the side. The guys that don't get the the applause that everybody else gets, but they're the guys who, when they get in the dressing room after the game, they're the one the teammates walk up and shake their hand.
Mm.
That's the sort of guy you got to look at. West Tigers, I get what Michael Maguire did in his last few years recruitment-wise as trying to get some points in the club, but it's now backfiring because they're not the sort of guys that can dig him out of this hole, and they're actually contributing to the problem.
In the immediate for the West Tigers as well, Kenty, and we all like Madge Anthony. He helped you smash the 43-year premiership in terms of being a Bunnies loyal member, and we all remember what wonderful scenes they were. But since he's gone to the West Tigers, Madge has got a reputation, and rightfully so, as a defensive coach. The Tigers are leaking nearly 30 points a game this season. Now, that's gradually got worse over the 3 years. This is the third season that Madge has been at Concord. I'm a Madge supporter, but when you look at those raw numbers, you look at the fact that they missed 38 tackles last night against the Melbourne Storm, and I think it was upwards of 40 the week earlier against the Parramatta Eels out at Bankwest. It's not NRL standard. And we can say, now, Kenty, we can say that you need to fix the pathways, and that's why they've signed Tim Sheens. And that's why Tim Sheens will start back at the West Tigers in July. Thank goodness there's something, some sort of circuit breaker coming in. But all those players that you referenced were signed by Madge.
Yeah, I get that. And I explained that. They needed points. He needed to find some of the...
Well, but hang on, they had Benji Marshall. They got rid of Benji Marshall.
Because he couldn't tackle. That's why.
Well, neither can the current blokes either.
Yeah, but look, the issue is, that's part of the issue. But the other issue, Madge is not the problem at this club. Ivan Cleary last year was named Coach of the Year, Dally M Coach of the Year. He was responsible for what Madge has been trying to clean up. But now in a different roster, he's coaching a team that leads the premiership. That with Melbourne, are far and away lengths ahead of everybody else in the competition. Mm. He's got the right players there. You cannot keep changing. Mick Potter, Jason Taylor. You go through this cavalcade of coaches that have all gone to the Tigers, and because they've got a soft underbelly, you could argue it began with Sheens. That the last couple of years of Sheens' career, where Sheensy probably changed focus a little bit as far as his coaching
from a
goes.
Grand final in 2010, I think it was.
Yeah, but he changed focus in the last couple of years. Okay.
Mm.
He's coaching.
Well, Sheensy was never a defensive coach. I know. He's never been renowned.
The Tigers have never been renowned to have a real tough underbelly either.
Even when they won the
comp. In the grand final, they won, make no disrespect, because they won it. They were the best side that year. But it was a softer grand final, as in they were rewarding attack more than defence that year.
Now, well, and you see that by the opposition they played that day.
Boys, on Fox League last night, Jimmy Tamo spoke to the guys after the game, and he was very transparent. I'll play some audio of what he had to say.
Yeah, obviously pretty disappointed. I think there's a lot of underlying issues that we've got to sort out, and it started from last week against Parramatta. The fact is, you know, we've got a lot of things to sort out. It's going to take everyone in the side to sort it out. I think near the end there, we're starting to get at each other. I think that's the last thing we need at the moment. Start pointing the finger. Only the soft ones do that. We need to be strong. We need to come together. We need to sort this out ourselves. So I think as the captain and the leaders of this side, it's up to us to sort out. But, you know, we've got to come together first before we start fixing everything.
That's James Tamo on Fox League last night. Gordy, I'm going to throw this to you because he made what stood out for me last night, and again then, he said they started turning on each other. They started attacking each other. What's it like on the field if that starts to happen?
It's never happened on the field that I've ever been on, but it'd be hard if you keep on pointing the finger. I tell you what happened. I had a leader by the name of Alan Langer, and if he thought we weren't doing the job, as in turning around and pointing the finger before you knew it, we're standing behind the line, whether it was Gary Belcher or Craig Bellamy or we had Steve Nance running us out a message, Alf would turn to that trainer and goes, get this guy off. But it wasn't that kind. Mm. I don't want to play with him.
Mm.
And you know what we do? We'd all be looking at our boots. We'd all be looking. Mm. And you didn't want to have eye contact just in case it was pointing to you. Yeah. But Alf would tell you to get off his field.
But nowadays, Gordy, everyone gets hurt feelings.
Yeah.
Mm.
And so they say, well, you can't talk to me like that.
But at the moment in our game, we've got the tail wagging the dog.
Yeah, I totally agree, mate. Absolutely. You know what I
mean? So, and then Wayne Bennett said it. Paul, I think you're on 360 when, you know, you said, or it might have been this show when you said, well, back in the day when the coaches from Wayne or whoever it was, they would go and they'd tell a player, go shake the reserve grade coach's hand, mate, you're down there. Well, he'd run over with the shits, shake the reserve grade coach's hand and try to prove the first grade coach wrong to get back up there. And he was embarrassed. Now they walk in, get on their phone and ring their manager and
get me out of here.
Want to get out of the club. And that's where our game's at. So our coaches, you know, I don't know how many coaches got sacked last year. I don't know how many coaches, mate. We watched it in Canberra last week. They tell a guy, mate, because he doesn't want to be there, well, you can pack your bags and go. Well, there's a revolt. You know, you look at what's happening in Brisbane. Look what's happening at the Tigers. The game needs to be strong and start supporting these coaches that are saying it. And I might be old school, I might be a dinosaur, not everybody agrees, but that was a day when your boss, mate, no matter what your boss said, whether you liked it or not, you did the job until you went and, you know, found another job.
Bringing it back to now again, Gordy, what does it mean and what does it say when Madge walks in at halftime and he says, righto, you blokes dug this hole that you're in at the moment, it's 40-0. Couple of expletives and some beeps and a bit of profanity and then go and fix it. And he walks out. And then they go out and they get another 26 points put on them. And they're just as insipid in the opening 5 to 10 minutes of the second half as what they had been for the opening 40.
Yeah, well, and I watched that in Origin. You know, I mean, like I did, like I watched Queensland do that in Origin. I'm sure Paul Green's speech at halftime wouldn't have been that kind. And you go out there and then, you know, you get pulled out of system and they put a play on and you're not good enough and they break you down. But it's when you don't try. Do you know what? When you watch the good sides, there's more jerseys. There's more. So when I watched Brisbane play South the other night and I watched it closely, there was more South Sydney jerseys in every frame.
Yep.
When you're sitting there at Fox and you're watching it, there's more. So that's when you know when your side's having a go and then they're getting beaten because they're not good enough. Last night, could you see every time there was probably a break, there'd be three or four Melbourne Storm players lining up. So there's no Tiger turning around, chasing, trying to get there. And that's what you judge the players. I don't judge them on their ability because that's what their mum and dad gave them. But you judge them on the effort, and it's like that they're not having a go. And that's why they're looking at each other because they know deep down that they're not having a go for each other.
Were any of them trying?
Oh, I think they try, but they give up. But when I say try,
they weren't
yes.
trying together. They weren't trying as a team. They weren't.
Yes, they
weren't
try. Fighting. And then when someone's around them, yes, they want to make that tackle, but they're not working hard. And when their job's done, that's it. They don't go and help their mate. Mm.
They don't go
just in case they're needed.
The one thing, when Michael Maguire walked in last night, that's an uncommon tactic, but it's not unusual. It's not. Yeah. It has happened before. He walked in. He basically, from my understanding, basically said to him, guys, you dug yourself this hole. You guys got to dig your way out. And then he left. Mm. He didn't sit there and pour information in them or try and rev them up. What he was basically doing was saying to the players, is trying to make them start being responsible for their own situation, which I don't think they are enough of. Secondly, he wanted to see the response from them. Okay, I'm not going to target any individual player here. I'm going to tell them it's on all of them to go out and turn it around. Then he came out and he watched to see who responded. And it was pretty poor because, like, it was, what was it, 66-12 or
66-16,
okay. But they went from 40 to 60 pretty quickly.
Yeah.
It
looked like being 80.
It looked like being 80-0 at one point. And only when basically Melbourne got bored at the end in the last 20 minutes that the Tigers actually did anything in the game. The fact that they actually didn't come out from that second half full of energy. The old-fashioned rev-up, I said to Michael Maguire earlier this year, actually, I said, mate, what happened to the old-fashioned rev-up before a game? Remember, you go all the way back to the famous 60 minutes where they're slapping each other's faces and getting... So that was the 70s, right? But then in the 80s and 90s, blokes would still be bashing on lockers and yelling. You hear a lot of... And Gordon, this would have been your era. You hear a lot of blokes yelling before a game and getting their energy up. Now blokes are praying. They've got their own headphones on, dancing. Some guys look around the dressing room for the camera, get their budgies on, and stand under that dancing. All these weird ways, and then they come out, and this is what offends me. Then they go out, and they go, oh, maybe we got ambushed today. Ambush, mate? Well, I looked in the program, and it said kick off 4 p.m., and it got printed 4 days ago. How do you call that an ambush?
Yeah.
You've trained all week. I've trained all week for it, and you're calling it an ambush.
Mm. Well, Paul, we're talking about all the problems. So, what's the solution?
I think the solution is you've got to start toughening them up a bit. I think Mike McGuire spent a lot of the offseason trying to toughen his guys up physically. They did a lot of hard training. They responded very well to the training from what I heard. I spoke to him. They had a three-day camp actually earlier before the season started where they were doing things like they had to get up, and I think they started about 4 in the morning at Concord. They had to do a wrestling session. And they wrestled and wrestled and wrestled 2 or 3, it might have been 2 in the morning they started. And they had to wrestle, and then they went straight from there out to Campbelltown, and they had the soldiers come in from the army and take them for 3 days. And I caught up with them at the end of the 3 days. They were out on their feet, the Tigers. And I looked at them, I thought, these guys have been through the ringer, and to a man, not one of them was complaining.
Mm.
And I thought, this is a really good sign for the club, that they're all in it together, they're buying in. And they had a real tough time of it, and they've come through the other end. It ended with them abseiling off Parramatta, off Bankwest Stadium. So, and then they had to sleep the night out on the field in tents they'd made. Some made some terrific tents. Some were like sheets hung over a bit of fishing line. And you thought, there's no way you're going to not wake up covered in dew in the morning. Mm. But it was a good sign for the club. They've lost their way, and all you need is just weakness. Once you get that weakness in your joint, that's the end of it for you. You got to identify who those players are, and you got to get them out.
Do you know the problem is, you know, back in the day, and like we keep on talking about it, is when you played, and I heard Maddie and that talk about that, there was an incentive. So when you won, you got $1,500 or whatever.
Yep.
I think unless we change our contract,
$1,500 to win, $100 a loss, it was.
Mm. Right? So unless we change it a bit like the NFL.
It won't happen though, Gordy. It'll never happen.
That means that it's never going to change. So what we're talking about, we're going to keep on talking about it.
So what are they doing in the NFL, Gordy?
Well, I think you can get money guaranteed. So you say Tom Brady might get $30 million guaranteed.
Mm.
And if he plays every game, it goes to 40 or okay. whatever it is. So like there's only so much money that you will get guaranteed. So the club will go to say, so let's throw out a name, Alan Langer. We're going to sign you on $200,000. If you play every game, which means you've got to make the first grade side, you'll get $350,000. So that's the deal.
Well,
so you Penrith get an incentive.
Penrith got something going like that. Ivan Cleary came out the other day and spoke about how, because they've got 7 Origin players this season picked, it affected their salary cap because
most clubs, most players and managers especially get them put into contracts.
But I'll tell you where you wouldn't get it happen. Like if you were playing, for example, at the Broncos now, and the club came to you and said, "Mate, we're going to put win bonuses in your contract." Well, mate, they may as well fantail packets. Mm. You know what I mean?
But here, Hoops, now you always say to me, I'm connected as a fan to the Rabbitohs, and you are a West Tigers fan, and you haven't really weighed in on this. As a fan, like, how do you feel today? You know, this is a disgraceful performance, and the blokes can talk about what players they need to attract, but who's going to go to a team that gets beat 66-16?
Yeah, well, this is a problem that they've had dating back to when they speared Tim Sheens at the end of 2011. So they've cycled through a variety of different coaches. Kenzie touched before on the fact that, you know, Ivan Cleary came to the club, told everybody to get on the bus, then got off the bus, had signed a lot of big name, big money players on long-term contracts that bit the club on the backside for a long time. They're now just starting to come out of that. And there are actually some signs of green shoots elsewhere around the club. But how do I feel today as a supporter and a member? You feel horrendous. You're embarrassed.
But to your question, though, Anthony, the only people that go to the Tigers, Broncos, I would dare say, are the same, and a few other teams. The only players that go to those clubs now are players who are getting paid more than they're worth.
Mm. Like,
and players who can't get a start,
to perhaps, Vita Pengai Jr.
Players who can't get a start. So you look at Joey Leilua. Now, Joey on his day can be a game breaker, but when he went to the Tigers, the Raiders wanted to get rid of him. And so the Tigers went, okay, maybe we can find a diamond in the rough there.
Yeah.
We can get the best out of him. Let's bring him in. We need to try and score some points, create a bit of havoc on the right edge. And it hasn't worked. Same with Jimmy the Jet.
Yeah.
Jimmy the Jet had all sorts of problems off the field at South Sydney.
That was one of South Sydney's greatest tricks, was how they managed to offload Jimmy the Jet without any criticism or any inspection on why they wanted to get rid of him. They just quietly...
I think if you... Like, the Tigers did their homework on him. They knew where they signed him out of. Mm. I think they
Yeah, but hoops, there was no public backlash or there's no drama that the Rabbitohs had to wear. It was just, I thought the way they handled it was superb.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I'm with you. I thought the way they handled it was right. They gave him a lot of behind the scenes.
Well, they made it look like they lost him rather than pushed him out the door.
Yeah, and behind the scenes, they did give him a hell of a lot of support, right?
No doubt. Tevita Pengai Jr., Hoops, is the same kind of player as Joey Leilua and James Roberts, where you don't know what's going to be happening on the field, off the field, what might be creating distractions for him. We all know what he's capable of, but how do you get it out of him every week?
I agree, Anthony. Look, talking to a couple of Tigers retired champions last week, and there was one bloke that they had on top of their recruitment list. It's Dale Finucane. We've already discussed him. They said they just need to pay. Doesn't matter what it is. Let's say it's $1 million a season, right? Go and sign him for 3 years or 4 years. He brings all the DNA that he's absorbed out of Melbourne over the course of his entire career, and he was at Canterbury before that when they were highly successful. And he teaches players how to win. So, and it won't happen overnight. You don't just wave a magic wand and all of a sudden you sign one player. But it's probably a little bit similar to when Souths signed Roy Asatasi back in the day. Mm. They had been to hell and back. They couldn't win games. They'd been kicked out of the comp, all that sort of thing. And when they finally got Roy Asatasi over the line, and then they got Sam Burgess, and then they got Greg Inglis, and all of a sudden you start to build towards a premiership. The Tigers are still at least 5 to 10 years away from being anywhere near that. The big question will be how much patience are the management going to show in terms of Madge? Because they backed him in so far.
Yep.
They gave him a contract extension at the beginning of this year for another couple of seasons after this year. So they need to show some cojones, and they've got to make a hard decision. Are they going to back him in? I think they will at this point in time. But if the 60-point floggings continue to mount, Well, it's very hard to justify.
The thing about signing a Dale Finucane is clubs have fallen into this hassle before, okay? They go out and they say, we'll get this guy from Melbourne. He's come from a good system. There are two types of players. One are those who are followers and the other's leaders, right? Some players come out of the Melbourne system and the club thinks they've got a good buy because he's going to come into their club and he's going to teach them the Melbourne way, and the players are going to rally around and follow him. And it doesn't always work that way. Some players are very good at fitting into the culture that they get dropped into, which is why they work in Melbourne, because it's hard work, head down, no smart asses, that sort of culture. But then when they get to another club, whatever that club is, rather than being able to turn them, they get turned. Dale Finucane will not turn. Dale Finucane is his own man. He's a leader. He's a guy who will set a standard. But the one thing you've got to do with Dale Finucane if you sign him is you quickly got to get guys around him who are also the same way. He can't do it all on his own. He's not the talent, as in pure talent, to be able to do it all on his own. He can drive a standard at the club, but there has to be a core group of players that continues to grow that will help, that will buy into what he's trying to push and will do that.
Boys, I've got to take a break because waiting in the wings is Kevvy Walters. Talk of a player revolt and rumours and innuendo of a similar nature coming out of the Broncos as well, who were also flogged over the weekend 46-0 by South. So we're going to take a break. Thanks to our mates at Sea-Doo. You're okay, Hoops, aren't you, mate? I know you're a little bit upset, but...
All good, Anthony.
Yeah, I know. I spoke to your missus and she said you're just a little bit not yourself today. So we'll take a break.
It's only a game, my friend.
Well, come back with Kevvy Walters next as Triple M rocks the footy.
Triple M, Sunday Sin Bin. Triple M rocks footy.
Now, of course, with Origin coming up, remember, wherever you are, you can listen to all our rugby league, all our NRL, all our AFL on the Listener app. So as long as you've got the Listener app, you love your footy, Triple M rocks the footy. We're doing it right now thanks to our mates at Sea-Doo. Get on board and see things differently with Sea-Doo. The poor old Broncos are last at the moment on 6 points. This weekend, on Thursday evening, they were defeated by the Bunnies 46-0. So wasn't a great weekend. We're very grateful to their coach, Kevvy Walters, for chatting to us here at the Sunday Sin Bin. Kevvy, welcome.
Thanks, guys. Yeah, nice to be with you all.
Nice to have you on, mate. We know how busy you are, so I'll throw you straight over to the boys and we'll get you off as soon as we can, Paul.
Kevvy, obviously it's been a distressing morning for you. Reports in the morning press from players who are complaining about some of your coaching methods. Were you shocked to see it?
I was, mate, yeah. Disappointed, firstly, and shocked. You know, I don't believe it's true. I mean, I've got a great relationship. One of my key assets as a coach is my relationship, you know, with people and particularly the players. I got to say I don't agree with what's happening. We may have some players here that are a little bit unhappy with the situation that they find themselves in. Matt Lodge and Tevita Pengai are both, unfortunately, because of our salary cap and where our roster is at, have both, you know, said that they can look for options at other clubs. So maybe, you know, I'm not saying it was those two, but, yeah, I just feel it's you know, a bit unfair, to be honest.
Do you believe you know who the players were who spoke anonymously?
No, I haven't followed up too much, mate. I mean, you know, I don't want to make it personal with any of the players. You know, they've got 6 days off now. So when we get back together as a group, you know, I'll address it then. If it is, I don't see a problem there, but I will obviously talk to the players about it, certainly, and bring it to a close. So, that's the important thing that we need to do is just be, you know, keep things open and honest. And I'm a very approachable, as you guys all know, I'm certainly a very approachable person in any way. So, and I don't have all the answers for, you know, all the time. So certainly appreciate the players want to come and see me, which they do regularly. We sort things out, mate.
So early on right now, where are your thoughts as far as how you deal this and address this, and what do you say to the players when you finally get them back together?
Yeah, well, we've made some changes, as you know, from post-game on Thursday night, given the situation that we find ourselves in after 15 rounds with just 3 wins. I felt something needed to change and effective immediately, so we unfortunately, 2 great staff members here, 2 really good people, you know, have lost their jobs as a direct result of, you know, where we sit, you know, in the competition ladder. So that was a very stressful and emotional day for myself and the rest of the staff here to say goodbye to those guys. But I just felt that, you know, if we keep doing what we're doing, nothing will change. And in my time here at the Broncos, it's been, you know, 6 months. It's been a tough gig, I've got to say, but one that you have to expect, given that, you know, where we finished last year in the Premiership table. From that squad last year, Jack Bird, Andrew McCulloch have left the squad. David Fifita has left the squad, and Katoni Staggs hasn't laced a boot on for us in the opening 15 rounds. So when you lose, particularly David Fifita and Andrew Katoni Staggs, that's 2 big losses for any side. And that's been the case for us this year. We haven't sort of, you know, we've strung some strong performances together, but not consistent enough. And you know, I just felt on Thursday night that we needed to make some changes effective immediately.
Even with those players missing though, Kevy, a lot of people expected more out of the Broncos. I know you were expecting to make the finals this year, which now seems long odds. Halfway through the year, where has it gone wrong?
A couple of areas, mate. We haven't sort of got our game style right, and that's, you know, I take responsibility for that. Certainly, some of the key goals that we set each week, the targets sort of haven't been hit, and injuries have played their part as well. You know, we haven't had Pat Carrigan for most of the year, as I said. Brody Croft's been injured; he's been in and out of the side, and we've also been criticised with our halves, you know, changing them all the time. Well, I've given everyone, just about everyone in the squad, we've used 32 players, so I've given everyone in the squad basically an opportunity to show us and show the club and show our fans, our sponsors, what they can do in the first grade arena. So everyone's been given an opportunity, basically. We've used more players than any other club. So, yeah, that's been a disappointing thing as well, where we sort of haven't got to a level like we played against Penrith. I'm not sure what round that was. That was earlier in the season. We took them all the way to nearly 80 minutes, and they got a late try and won the game. And then you see what, you know, what happens last week, you know, against South, which was, you know, a poor performance, you know, from all regards.
One of the criticisms, Kevy, you just alluded to there was the chopping and changing in the halves. Firstly, what are you trying to achieve there? And secondly, one of the criticisms is that you need consistency to be able to try and get together and put together some form, and that by the constant chopping and changing, you're not allowing the halves to find any consistency.
Yeah, well, at the moment, Kenny, we've only got 2 halfbacks available for us to play each weekend. That was Carmichael Hunt and Tyson Gamble. Both Brody Croft and Anthony Milford both got knee injuries. Crofty might be back in might be available for next round, but certainly Milford's still out for a period. Tom Dearden was our other half, and he was sold to the Cowboys, you know, 3 or 4 weeks ago. So the chopping and changing is a direct result, you know, of basically performances not being at a level where I think is sustainable. And I haven't sort of put a bloke in for a week and then pulled him out. I've given him a couple of opportunities to show what he can do. And in that period, obviously, it wasn't up to scratch. So if you keep doing the same thing over and over, nothing's going to change, Kenty. And that's the way I see it. I mean, I feel I've been extremely fair on that regard about giving players opportunities to come into the side and, you know, show us what they can do.
Kevy, can I ask, and I'll start by saying, you know, everybody on this program are all big supporters of yours, but these reports today and the fact that there are communication issues and that players are supposedly struggling with mixed messages, what's your response to that?
Again, mate, which players are they? Which, you know, this is a camp that's probably not that happy given we're situated where we are. We're at the bottom of the table, so everyone's not happy. Let's get that out on the table first. And mixed messaging, I don't know where that's come from, mate, because, I'm a good communicator and you guys know me on the panel. I'm always very open and very honest with around selections and around why players are in the side, why players are left out of the side. That's one of the tough jobs that you find yourself in as an NRL coach is to tell a player that he's not in the side. But I feel that I've been really open and really honest and with my feedback to the players on why they're not in the side. So, I don't know where that's coming from, mate.
And is that why that they're upset? Like some of the senior players, Kevy, have been, told to go find another club?
Well, that could be the case, Gordy. I'm not entirely sure on that. And, I've had some conversations, just in the last couple of days with Pat Carrigan, with Payne Haas and Katoni Staggs, and they understand the situation that we find ourselves in. We need to change things. We need to change what we're doing, how we're training, why we're training, because obviously what we're doing at the moment is clearly not working for whatever reason. It just hasn't worked. So the players are on a break at the moment. When they come back, things will be totally different, around the place, the way we prepare ourselves and the way we actually play as well.
There was one thing that I read was about players and the social media, and they make their debuts. And I think they're talking about Albert Kelly and was it TC Rabadi?
Yeah, those two. Well, we've had four players debut this year or make their debuts for the Broncos. Albert Kelly, he was presented his jersey by his wife and kids here at the Broncos at the captain's run, so I'm not sure where that information has come from. And TC Rabadi, since he's arrived here in Australia as a 15-year-old, has been living with a guy, Kieran, and he sort of mentored him through that period, and he was the one that came in, and it was quite emotional, actually, to see where TC's background has been, in New Zealand. He came to Australia for a better life, and he's worked extremely hard to get himself into a position, and a lot of that work and support has been given by the people that took him in here in Australia, and those guys presented him with the jersey, at Suncorp before the kickoff. So that was an emotional time as well. Selwyn Cobbo debuted. His parents are from Cherbourg. They flew to Sydney
for that one. Even Bretto was there. Like, I know that one.
And the other one was Kobe Hetherington, and Jason and his wife Kim flew to Sydney before the Roosters game to present him with his jersey. So, I'm not sure again where that information comes from, Gordy.
Kevy, it's strange, and I'm one of your good mates, but I knew that last year Brisbane got the wooden spoon, and it hurt all of us. And then, as you said, there's no Dave Fifita, Katoni Staggs, Jack Bird, Darius Boyd. So the squad, I would say, isn't as strong, and I know that you got to turn it around.
Yeah.
It must be disappointing that people from within are trying to, sort of sabotage a little bit.
Well, I think that's always probably going to be the case, Gordy. When, I'm sure at all clubs there are players that aren't happy that they're not playing first grade, whether it be the Storm who are flying, whether it's Penrith. I'm sure there's some players in their roster that think, I'm not getting a go here. And there'll be a little bit of unrest. That was the same case through all of the years that I was here. Not everyone can play first grade, which means not everyone's happy. So when you're losing like we are, things just start to boil away and the tension. So part of my job is to try and ease that tension, and that's what, I feel we have been doing. And we'll address it again when the players come back next Sunday when we begin our preparations for the Cronulla game. The beauty of next week is Katoni Staggs, he'll be running out for the first time. We don't want to place a lot of pressure on Katoni either. We want to make his transition back into the side as as smooth as possible. But I know the injection of Katoni with his the way he plays and his mentality and his drive to win will be a great asset for us, you know, to finish out the season.
Kevy, who's behind this campaign to oust you?
I don't know, mate. I don't know, Kenny.
Is it player managers, officials?
It could be a mixture of people, mate, you know, so I'm not sure. But I know that we'll get back to regroup, you know, when we come back next Sunday. We'll address what's going on, certainly. And those, you know, with again, we're trying to change the mentality of our players here as well. For it's been on the decline, let's face it, hasn't it, for the last, you know, three or 4 years. It was a grand final in 2015 that the Broncos played in, and since then there's been a gradual decline in our roster and also where we've been finishing, you know, on the table. So I guess we've hit rock bottom, and it's up to me and the rest of the staff here and the players to turn that around. And with that comes some strong decisions, some firm decisions around the culture of the place and what happens here, both in training and on the field. And that's my primary objective. Every decision that I make here at the club is about the club. It's not about Kevin Walters or any of our coaching staff or any of our players. It's about the club and wanting the club to get better. So whilst I'm here, I'll strive and continue. That's my focus, to do that. And if I get some speed bumps along the way and some hiccups, well, I'll deal with them, you know, as we go.
So are you clear in your head right now what will change when you come back after your break you're on now? And secondly, how hard will that be to implement?
Very clear on what we're going to do when the players come back. Certainly a really firm picture, you know, in my mind, Kenny, as to how we need to go about things. And then it's just a matter of implementing it from a coaching and a performance point of view. So,
Can you give us an insight into what that is? What are you going to change?
The first thing is we're looking to try and with our roster, see if we can get some players in to strengthen up the squad, because obviously, you know, we've got some players that are injured at the moment.
Okay. How immediate will that be then?
Well, we're working on the roster every day, mate. You know, just trying to shuffle the board around to get the right people, you know, in the organisation. And yeah, that's one thing. We've got some time. I'm not sure how many days until our next game, but we've got time there to implement that, as well as, you know, the way we prepare for our games. We've got a big preparation coming into the Sharks game, a full 8-day prep. So, you know, things will be different, mate. I can guarantee you that.
Kevy, on the roster, Matt Lodge is one player who today in the reports he has actually gone on the record. And he's obviously a player that you have been straight up with. You told him some time ago you need a halfback. He's free to go because he's on big, big money on a long-term deal. And the club obviously needs to free up some funds. How quickly could that possibly happen, a Matt Lodge transfer to either the Warriors or Newcastle or whoever else might be interested?
Well, that's up to Matt Lodge, I suppose, and the Broncos board here to come up with it's a financial decision at the end of the day. So that's not a decision that I can make. I've made the decision, and I've sat down with Matt, and we've been very open and very honest with each other. I like what he's doing, Lodgy, as a player. He's been great for us, one of our best players this year. But unfortunately, we need funds to strengthen up our spine. You know, we've bought Adam Reynolds for next year, so he'll play in the seven jumper. Obviously, Katoni Staggs is coming back this weekend, so he could be playing, you know, centre or 5-8. But we just need more funds to strengthen up, you know, our fullback position and possibly our nine as well. So, yeah, it just depends on who's available and who we can get.
Okay, and just finally, speaking of the board, you've got a new CEO. You know, the board have obviously been big supporters of yours over the course of the last 12 months. Everyone's aware that you were coming off a very low base. It's the first time that the Brisbane Broncos had ever got a wooden spoon last year. Are you comfortable, Kev, especially when, you know, no one likes seeing reports like what surfaced today hit the newspapers? Are you comfortable that you have got the necessary support and the right backing of the power brokers at the club?
Oh, well, certainly since I've noticed a big change since Dave walked into the building, you know, 4 weeks ago. It gave me great support and stability on the plan that I had, you know, for the Broncos moving forward. So he's been a real tower of strength for me personally, and also the club. Yeah, mate, we're all in this together, and same with the players. We're in this together. We're up to round 15, and we've won three games. I think the club won three games last year, so we got 9 games left or 10 games left, to make sure that we get something out of the season. And that's my plan. And I'm really, really confident we can execute that plan and finish the season off in a way that all of our fans and all of our sponsors, everyone can be happy with the back end of the season.
It's a big picture, Kevy. How long does this rebuild take?
Well, it took 5 years to get us, well, 6 years, Kenny, from after that 2015 grand final to put us in this position. So it's not going to be fixed overnight, mate. It's not going to be fixed in a year. It's going to take longer than that, depending on, again, a lot of it hinges around the roster and how quickly we can get, you know, players in those key positions and get them here and get them playing well.
Okay, so you lost out on Nicho Hynes. Who are you looking for to strengthen your spine next season?
For next season, we're still obviously open to suggestions. Not suggestions, but guys that we're looking at. At the moment, there's also a couple of guys in-house here that we will give an opportunity to at the back end of the season to see where they fit in things. So, yeah, it's something that's still – we're still juggling balls there, Kenty.
All right, Kevy. Good to catch up, mate. All the very best for the remainder of the season, mate. And thank you so much for your time, Kev.
No worries. Thank you.
Good on you, mate. Kevy Walters, the head coach of the Broncos. We had to leave it there. We just need to get to a break.
All right,
10 minutes till kickoff of the first game today, Dogs Parramatta.
Can I just ask the boys a question while it's fresh?
Yeah.
You know when there's an article, and Matt Lodge, and I've had my differences with Matt Lodge, at least he put a name and a face to the article?
Yes.
What about the other guys? Is that fair?
I never like quoting people anonymously, players anonymously, because you leave yourself open to getting holes shot in you and in your argument, and also it just triggers off a big guessing game about who the culprits actually were or who was it. You know, everybody picks up the phones and starts
for two, you put your name to it if it's fact.
Yeah, it's not very courageous.
Believe it. Hey?
It's not very courageous. There's a lot of that goes on now. I think, look,
it's clearly disgruntled players at the Broncos, right, who have probably either been tapped, or fear that they're about to get tapped. And so they've decided to go down the road of talking to the media.
One thing you can be sure of is self-interest.
Yeah, what I do, if one of you annoy me, I ring up our boss, you, and I say, don't say I said, but. That's the best way to go about it. Let's take a break. We'll come back.
And then everyone turns on you.
As usual, we'll light things up with Maroon's quiz next to Triple M.
The Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Triple M rocks footy.
7 minutes away till the Doggies take on Parramatta. Here's a stat. The Doggies going for 2 wins in a row, first time since 2019. So they'll be partying at Canterbury Leagues Club if they can pull that one off. It's time for this.
Welcome to Maroons Trivia Night.
Wow. I tell you what, this is a massive, massive thing we've got here. We're going to do beers. Beers around the world, beer slogans, brands of beer, movies that featured beers. You're all pretty good at drinking beer, and for that reason, I don't think you're going to win hoops. Okay, I tried to make
it. You should be pretty good yourself,
mate. Yeah, I'll find out of my division with both these blokes.
Oh, mate, I think now.
Okay, Dick's Tavern.
All right, boys, you know your names are your buzzers, and your time starts now. Okay, question number one. DB Bitter is a beer made... Yes, who's that, Paul? Gordy.
In New Zealand.
That's right.
Sponsored the Warriors their first year.
1-0, and thank you, One Asterix, for that bonus information. Question number two. What brand of beer featured on the 1992 Broncos jersey?
Gordy.
Paul.
Powers,
and it's 1-1. Next one's a thinking one, Hoops, so just sit back.
Hands and heels.
What type of beer is being hauled in the truck in the movie Smokey and the Bandit?
Smokey and the Bandit.
Gordy.
Yes, Gordy.
Miller.
Miller is wrong. It's Coors.
Coors.
So anyway, we got you. So if we find Paul ahead, 1-0 again.
Of course it was.
Okay, Cascade Beer is made in what Aussie state?
Gordy.
Paul.
Tasmania.
Hoops, sorry. Tasmania. Come on, Hoops. Come on. Come on. You're like the Doggies last week. Everyone wants you to win.
And you've got to give him Chris Hynington from the opening minute as well.
Yeah,
he's on two.
All right, so it's 1-1. Gordy's on 0. Okay. Asahi beer comes
Hoops,
forward. Yes, Hoops.
Japan.
Oh, man. Hoops, you're going to win this one, baby. Go, Hoops. 2-1. Next question. What American beer once had the slogan, the king of ball?
40.
Miller.
No, that's wrong.
No, it's Bud.
Bud. Well, now you're leading two. They're Bud. Two. They're, yeah, you're Bud, two. They're both zero.
Oh.
Just hold on. You can win this,
Let's
Hoops.
Just sit back and just reflect for a moment. Yes. Hoops is two in front.
He's two in front.
He's like, stop the fight. No, stop the fight. I forfeit.
Paul, this is where he gets like the North Sydney Worst Bears in 1983. He's going to just somehow find a way to lose it. Right. Here we go. The popular 60s beer, DA.
Hoops.
Yes, Hoops.
Rushes.
Well, that wasn't the question. Oh, so he's back to one. It was going to be, what does the DA stand for?
Dural.
Bad luck, mate. I can't believe this. And now he's starting to get all nervous.
Oh, look at him, Peter Garrett.
What TV girls worked at Schott's Brewery? What TV girls worked at Schott's?
Gordy.
Yes, Gordy.
Laverne and Shirley.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of Maroon's old favourites.
Geez, I'm proud of myself. Gee, this is a good quiz. I'll tell you what. If you go to one of my quizzes, you're getting these questions this week. Okay, so you haven't got any points, Paul.
No, 1-0.
Okay, the next question is, what famous Aussie sang the song, A Pub With No Beer?
Paul. Slim Dusty.
And it's 1-1. 1-1-1. Uh-oh, we're running out of questions. Hang on a second. Hang on.
You'll improv a couple here, Finn.
Okay. Okay, the next question. What's the biggest selling beer in Mexico?
Gordy.
Oh.
Sol.
No!
Corona.
So no, it's now it's... Corona. He's nil. You're both one.
It's not Corona.
What is it? Dos Equis.
It's Corona.
Corona.
Nah, I don't think so, Maroon.
Yeah, well, don't worry about it.
I will challenge you on that.
That might be a trick question. Actually, someone asked me, this is not the biggest selling beer in Australia, and they answered Foster's.
Yeah.
Now, that's not. But well, it's probably overseas.
Corona's probably the one that's the biggest export.
No, we've got a technicality.
Yeah.
It's got to be a protest.
So, hang on. I'll tell you how we work it. Whatever I say the answer is the answer.
No, but it's not the answer.
No, it is the answer. What's the score? Anyone? Anyone know?
I'm 0.
So I'm 1. Me, Hoops are 1.
Right, okay.
I'm 0.
Gordy's 0.
All right, all right. So Harbin
it's a tough
beer.
Quiz, this one.
Harbin beer comes from what country? Harbin. Harbin.
Norway.
Norway is wrong. It's back to... Harbin. How where can you blokes go through 24 questions and be 1-0?
Where is half?
It's from China.
Oh,
all right.
Please.
Okay.
That didn't even sound Chinese.
Hey, don't worry about what it sounds like, mate. I'm in charge here. You're winning 1-0. All right. Next question. Okay. What type of beer was a cold gold? A cold gold. A cold gold.
Paul. KB?
Yeah. Next question wins.
KB, Kent, the old Kent Brewery, eh?
Okay. Are we all ready?
So I'm back on one. And what am I on, two?
Yeah, you're on one.
You're both. The next one question's going to have to win because we're running into overtime.
It's golden point.
It's golden point. I wrote 23 questions. I thought surely we'll get an answer. All right.
I should have went 24, make it a full carton.
This is a nonsense squeeze.
Yeah. Oh, hang on a second. You know what? Did you just say it's a nonsense? All right. He's disqualified. Paul, you win again. There you go. I'm not putting up with that.
Because he's out of questions.
I'm putting up with that.
He hasn't got any more questions.
Triple M.
Triple M rocks the footy. The Sunday sin bin for Sea-Doo. Get on board a Sea-Doo and discover why it's Australia's number one choice in personal watercraft.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.